Professor Shabir Madi joins me on the line now, professor in the Vaccine and Infectious Diseases Research Unit at Wits University. Shabir, lovely to chat to you again. Good morning and welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
2,270 is the number of new cases identified in the reporting period of 24 hours, bringing the total number to 767,679 confirmed cases of COVID-19. What is worrying, though, Shabir, is that we are starting to see those numbers creeping up. And on one of the days last week, we saw that number of new cases above 3,000 for the first time since May, I would imagine. Actually, no, to be later than that. Should we be concerned?
Yes, most certainly we need to be concerned. And I think there's two elements to it. The number of cases that we are observing, and I think it's more accurate to use sort of a 7-day rolling average, is in the region of above 2,000, which is of concern. And more so because the amount of testing that's been done compared to at the time of the peak of the outbreak is roughly about 50%. So right now we're testing at about 22,000 people per day. We were testing 45,000 people today. So even the 2,000 is probably an underestimate as to the number of people that are actually infected. So yes, we certainly need to be concerned, especially since we're also seeing an uptick in a few regions.
Those regions, particularly in the Eastern Cape and the Western Cape, the ministry highlighting these cluster outbreaks, as they're calling them, in parts of the Western Cape and the Eastern Cape. How are we responding to those, and is that sufficient?
Look, the only way that we can realistically respond to that is to really encourage people to adhere to the practices of non-pharmacological interventions. But the most important, and this is from evidence from the United States, which probably applies to South Africa as well, the major drivers of this increase are mass gatherings, and particularly people going to restaurants, going to places of worship, going to gym. Any gathering in a closed space where there's poor ventilation and many people lends itself to what you call these clusters or super spreader events. And that is something which unfortunately is being allowed for in South Africa. So it doesn't come as a complete surprise, together with people becoming more complacent about the use of face masks and not adhering to physical distancing, that we're beginning to see an uptick. It's probably going to worsen over the next few weeks and certainly during the vacation period.
So what does the president do? You've never been a fan of any form of lockdown. What measures do we put in place to make sure that those numbers do not increase?
Yes, I think South Africa is a classical example that lockdown simply doesn't work. It's a blunt tool, and it only works if you've got an effective testing strategy and an effective strategy in terms of the tracing of contacts. And the logistics and resources to have such a strategy simply is beyond the means of South Africa. So again, it goes back to what is achievable. And what is achievable is not allowing for mass gatherings. That is achievable. What is achievable is for people to adhere to wearing a face mask and to actually enforce it. So those type of things are achievable, and that's where we need to focus.
I have had the wonderful occasion to go to a number of restaurants in Cape Town this past week, simply because, for whatever reason, there were a number of friends and colleagues from Joburg who were in Cape Town, so we went out for dinner a few times, and I can tell you now, Shabir, every restaurant I went to was almost full to capacity, which is good news for the restaurants, but not so great as far as achieving the objectives of social distancing and keeping the capacity of that restaurant to less than 50%.
Exactly. And so it shouldn't come as a surprise. And it's not just restaurants, it's also places of worship. So I'm not going to be very popular to say this, but the reality is when you go to those places, like you mentioned, no one is adhering to 50% occupancy to start off with, and it's simply not pragmatic to build. It's simply not realistic for us to imagine that we can allow that and not get an uptick in terms of the number of cases. Despite the large percentage of the population possibly already having been infected, we're way below the threshold that's required for there to be sort of sustained interruption in terms of the chain of transmission of the virus. So allowing for these sort of mass gatherings just simply doesn't help our cause in terms of being able to control the rate of transmission of this virus.
Let's shift gears for a moment to the vaccine. Reports this morning indicating that the US, Germany and the UK could start COVID-19 vaccinations as early as December. In fact, Spain also included in that list of countries that has a rollout plan already in place and setting up those vaccination centers. How soon are we likely to get a vaccine in South Africa?
Fortunately, not anytime soon. I think our best hope is probably to get some vaccine by the second quarter of next year. It is dependent on government in terms of its success with regard to negotiating for access. There's the COVID facility, which government hasn't signed up to, but hasn't yet put in the finances that's required of it. And I think government is also engaging with companies in terms of bilateral arrangements. But it's really up to government as to when they can conclude deals. The problem that we face is that, as you pointed out, many countries have already concluded those bilateral deals, especially with the companies that have been successful up to now. So we wouldn't get any sort of vaccine from Moderna or from Pfizer before the second quarter of next year, or towards the end of the second quarter of next year. That would be highly optimistic.
This despite, commitments from the G20, for example, which was concluded yesterday after a two-day virtual meeting, that vaccines would be made available to developing countries as well.
Well, the big issue, obviously, the timelines in terms of when vaccines become available to developing countries. As we saw with the swine flu pandemic in 2009, the only sub-Saharan African country to get a swine flu vaccine eventually was South Africa, and it only got access to the vaccine after the pandemic had passed. So I think it looks good on paper that there'll be equitable distribution, but it's also about the timeliness of distribution and the amount of vaccine that could become available.
What about our capacity to be able to produce a vaccine? Granted, we might not have a formula. We might need to rely on a Pfizer or Moderna, for example, to share some of the intellectual property pertaining to their vaccines. Would we be in a position to produce it here so that we can then administer it in South Africa, but more importantly, provide for the rest of the African continent as well?
So I would love to be optimistic to say yes. And obviously, as you've heard, there's one company that has actually arranged deal with Johnson & Johnson to manufacture vaccine locally. But the complexity in terms of vaccine manufacture from scratch is really, really complex. And it's not something that you're going to get done in a period of 10 weeks or even 10 months. So again, yes, South Africa might eventually be able to produce vaccine from scratch, but it's not going to happen anytime soon. So our best hope of actually getting access to vaccine is for government to engage and continue engaging with companies as well as to see what you can get from the COVID facility.
Whichever way you look at it then, we, you and me, will need to play our part as the president orders asks and make sure that we keep ourselves safe. We are wearing masks. We are sanitizing. We are not, maybe that's my new rule, not entering into a space that is not, that I feel is overpopulated and has far too many people concentrating in one place, particularly when there's not enough ventilation or open windows to move the air around kind of thing.
Without question, in the United States, 80% of infections are because of people going into mass gatherings in poorly ventilated areas, 80%. In South Africa, it's not going to be very different from that because of what's actually transpiring at the moment in terms of people engaging in this sort of mass gatherings.
All right. Shabir, thank you very much indeed. Professor Shabir Madi is a professor in the Vaccine and Infectious Diseases Research Unit at Wits University.